Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Good evening. That's right. We have to change the world, just you and me and everybody else. You're listening to Waking Up with Linda McShann, and it is Think Thursday. And we're going to have an exciting show. We'll have Gloria Milan coming on with us talking about wellness and our basic body needs and what they need. And then Karen Berg will be joining us about growth mindset. But before we get started, you know, I'd like to share this with you, give you something to think about. The misfortune of others is our misfortune. Our happiness is the happiness of others. To see ourselves in others and feel an inner oneness and sense of unity with them represents a fundamental revolution in the way we view and live our lives. Therefore, discriminating against another person is the same thing as discriminating against yourself. When we hurt another, we are hurting ourselves. And when we respect others, we respect and elevate our own lives as well. So I just want to say that to give you something to think about and tell you, do not stay at home. Do not stay at home. Vote. V-O-T-E to exercise your powers. Do not retreat. Vote for all that will do the right thing. New voters, you can make a difference. Do your part. And for those out there who say that your vote does not matter, believe me, it does. So I'm going to give you something to think about. Let's get rolling here. I hope you had a phenomenal, phenomenal day. And for those of you who watched the debate, congratulations. I had to look at it. I just want to give you some information to think about.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't all that use me stuff. I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sitting me right down and he talked to me. He told me. to let you just walk on me. And I'm sure he meant well. Yeah, but when I talk was through, I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
That's right. We're all here to be used, but we're not here to be misused. And this evening we have Miss Gloria Melion coming on with us to talk to us about our body basic needs and what we need. Gloria Melion, are you with us this evening?
I am with you.
Yes,
how
I am.
How are you?
Good evening.
I am well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on and sharing with us.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to let you have at it.
All righty then. So, like everything else, you know, there are basic needs for mostly everything. And the body is no exception. So there are things, I will break it down to three things that our body needs. They are essential nutrients that our body can't make on its own. It needs us to give it the proper ingredients that it needs. And those three things are proteins, carbohydrates, and fat. So we need the proteins, of course, to help us build bones, skin, hair. All of our body functions are made with the assistance of proteins. And proteins provide the building blocks for the body and not just for muscle. So every cell, from body to skin to hair, contains protein. And, of course, if we want those particular things to be healthy, we have to feed it correct foods. And so, as I said before, those three things, so we need, if you can imagine, remember when Flautus came up, well, she didn't come up with the original idea, but she did bring it to our attention that we need to fill our plate with certain things. She came up with the idea about the My Plate. And so the My Plate consisted of one half of produce. So plants provide an abundance of micronutrients, like vitamins and minerals. We need those to also help us to repair our bodies as well. They help us to improve our digestion. They help us to detox our body when foreign objects get into it. The vitamins and minerals play a large part in the improvement of helping our cells to work properly. So we should probably aim for anywhere from 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables. We want to go heavy on the vegetable side because the vegetables is the thing that heals the body. And the vitamins from the fruits and the fruits provide us with nourishment. So fruits are for nourishment and vegetables are for healing, and we need both of them. And some of the ways that we could include fruits and vegetables in our diet is to, you know, salads are a good idea. We can use vegetables in stir fries. Many times I might throw some meat or some type of protein on a bed of lettuce or, you know, whatever green I choose. We're just trying to find ways to be able to include it into the diet. And, of course, fruits are good for snacks and desserts. And, of course, because of all the herbicides and pesticides that are put in our food, we should really make an effort to, as much as possible, go organic or at least local, because it's generally more nutritious and better tasting, and of course free of the pesticides, which is the thing that's causing the problems in our bodies. So we should also have a quarter of protein on our plate. Now, protein helps us to feel satisfied. You know, after we eat a good piece of maybe a steak or lobster or whatever protein you choose, it usually helps you to feel more satisfied or satiated, as they would say. And it reduces the high sugar effect on your body. And so, of course, these proteins ultimately serve as building blocks for the structure and chemicals of our body. And good proteins to focus on are fish, different types of seafood, nuts and nut butters, seeds and seed butters, beans, poultry, hard cheeses, yogurt, eggs, mushrooms, and in moderation, dairy products and meat. And if we do meat, it would be preferable for us, if we can, to try to eat the pasture-raised or wild sources, because, of course, the animals get to eat and graze like they're supposed to, as opposed to, you know, being a part of a large agricultural farm where, you know, they have them, like, you know, giving out milk 24/7. And so, you know, there was a time when animals were allowed to graze and, you know, be free of all the things that manufacturers do to them now. So we have to be very careful about the sources that we get our protein from. Actually, our whole food supply, we need to really make sure that we are aware of what the source is. And the closer, local food and organic is, of course, the best. The other essential is carbohydrates. Now, you know, we carbohydrates is what fuels the body. It's what gives us energy. And so complex whole food carbs eaten as a part of a balanced diet provide us with steady energy, and it helps to keep our blood sugar balanced. We should focus, I'm a big fan of pasta, and it doesn't love me as much as I would like it to, but it's probably not the best carbohydrate for my body. But, you know, everybody's different. Some of the sources for complex carbohydrates would be things like root vegetables, beans, fruit, whole grains, and there are some carbohydrates in dairy as well, and some vegetables also provide carbohydrates. I could, just off the top of my head, I could think about the carrot actually has a sufficient amount of carbohydrates in it. And we should probably, in moderation, you know, the white potatoes and the white flour and all of those things tend to have our blood sugar on a like a roller coaster. So we should be really careful about how the type of carbohydrates we eat. And so the other thing is that we also need a little fat. You know, all the time there's this talk about we should have low fat, no fat, much fat. Well, the real deal is that we do need a little bit of fat, because fat is a key component of our cell membranes. And the effect is throughout the body, but particularly the nerves and the brain, the heart, the hair, skin, and nails. They depend upon the fat that we provide it with. And it also helps us to helps our bodies to absorb fat soluble nutrients like A, D, E, and K. And all of these are also building blocks, and they help us to you know, keep our nerves and brains and all that stuff in good shape.
Right.
So, yeah, we want to focus on fatty fish, nuts, nut butters, virgin olive oil, unrefined coconut oil, olive oil, avocado. All of those are good oils to use in moderation.
Mm.
And, of course, the other thing that we need, of course, is water. Like there's been a lot of studies on the effect water has on the body. But one of the things that we, as Americans, it's been found that 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we can't live, I forgot, what was it, 3 days without water? But not getting enough water causes a lot of problems. I have a client that I'm working with now that's complaining about fatigue. And
mm-hmm.
so the first question I asked was, how much water do you drink? Because
mm-hmm.
that's one of the symptoms that comes up when we don't drink enough water. Another way we can tell, as we talked about earlier in this whole thing, was the color and smell of the urine. That
mm-hmm.
also lets us know, you know, that we might be dehydrated. We have headaches, we get fatigued, joint pain. All of those things are a result of not actually having enough water. And so I, too, am guilty of, you know, not drinking it straight from a glass. Now, the way that I am getting my water is through, you know, drinking teas.
Okay.
I have a lot of herbs that I'm using to make teas. And so my cup holds about 12 ounces. And I try to have at least 2, 3, 4 cups of tea a day. And so that's my way, you know, of getting the water, because it looks like just drinking it straight up is, you know, a problem sometimes for me. But for me, drinking the tea helps me to not even think about, you know, how much water I'm drinking. I'm just, you know, having a cup of tea. So
mm-hmm.
all of these add to the nutritional punch that we're after. And also spices also help to provide us with nutrition. As you know, you've tried the cinnamon tea. Cinnamon has a lot of vitamins and minerals in it, and it's also good for blood sugar. like many times, you know, there's a fad of, say, a particular herb going around. Somebody recently asked me about an herb. I can't think of the name of it right now, but what I remembered was that a question that was asked of me while, you know, I was studying nutrition was, what are you taking it for?
Mm-hmm.
You know how, like, you know, there are, you know, different fads that go around. And I'm trying to think of the exact name of it, but when the person asked me about it, like, should I want to take this because, you know, I've heard so much good about it. And so I said, yeah, you know, the herbs are very good, and they do a wonderful job, but you can't take, like the one herb approach, basically. Because, you know, herbs alone, they are very good. They improve the health. They help to alleviate disease and discomfort. And but they should be a part of, I would say, a multifaceted, holistic approach. And
okay.
every time we have a discussion about nutrition, it goes back to diet, lifestyle, and the mind-body balance. Those are the pillars of health. And so we can't just, you know, take one herb and say, okay, I'm going to use this and it's going to, you know, do what it's supposed to do. But
clear up everything.
It's not that it, right. And it's not that it won't work, but it's just that the body, because it's a whole being, it works on a holistic, in a holistic manner. So, again, the diet, lifestyle, the way we feel and think, all of those things go toward, you know, keeping us, making and keeping us healthy. So we have to also, you know, listen to our bodies. Mm-hmm. Because each one of us is different. So I can't say, Linda, I think you should try the paleo diet. You may not like anything, you know, in the paleo diet. Your body may not respond to it. So
that's true.
The point is that, yeah, all of these different diets, they don't work for everybody. But there are things, as I mentioned, proteins, carbohydrates, fats. Everybody needs those nutrients.
So you're saying
that
even though keep us going. So what I'm hearing, you know, you can try this and that, but basically it's the diet, the lifestyle, and the, actually the mindset, the mind and the body. I'm not a water drinker, but I've noticed that coconut water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like coconut unless I'm eating a German chocolate cake or an ambrosia, but I've been drinking the coconut water. And from what I can gather, that coconut water takes care of a lot of stuff, okay, because it has the minerals and stuff in it. So I, you know, just trying to get in the habit of it and I'm trying to test out the distance. But like you say, you know, we go through dehydration and, unless the alkaline water is good, so just like you have that hot lemon water in the morning, which my grandmother drank all of my life that I saw her, I take a alkaline water and heat it in a cup and maybe put just a little bit of lemon in and drink it. But I'm going to have that cup of coffee later on. But I'll put that alkaline water in there in the beginning to get it moving, as I say. But for the past week, I would say that I've been drinking coconut water and not with sleep and stuff. So it's going to take some time to get used to, but I want anything that's going to be good for my body, okay, instead of, you know, sometimes we have to take up that changes. Like Professor Bird, she's coming in, even though she's on a different time frame. And if she comes in and joins us this evening, it'll be very much because she's like 2 hours ahead. And she's talking about that mind growth. But the mind is still
body,
with the body and the mind, because it's all connected in as one. So when you talk about dealing with, you know, never went through acupuncture. I like chiropractors. I used to run from them because I was afraid of them. But the first time I got an opportunity to go to one, they cracked my neck, and I didn't even know that they had did it. And when I finished, I said, oh, my goodness, I can see clear. You know, so it's such as the proper adjustments of the body and what they do.
Yes.
And so you want to stay with your medical people, but you also, you know, you have to work it in between. So I'm not one to take all those prescription drugs. And I realized that the body will heal itself, and you have to work on it. So I've been I study a lot about the coconut water. So I'm glad you talked about the dehydration, because I know I'm one that's dehydrated because I don't drink water. Only time I will drink a lot of water is when I go and have a massage, which I haven't had one in months, and I put a 3-gallon jug on the counter. And I have a crystal beer mug glass, and I put that on the counter. And each time I walk by it, I'll drink out of my beer mug and with a straw. And because I know that I have to move those toxins. I have, otherwise I'm going to be aching. So you want to move those toxins from that massage. So I haven't, and I'm a massage enthusiast, but I haven't been there in a while. And my body is saying, excuse me, what in the world is going on here? So you get out and you walk and you swing your arms and stuff. But the body is a remarkable thing, and I'm so glad that you come in and you share this with us. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but I had to let you know I was drinking that coconut water. I had to let you know that, so I feel good.
Right.
I'm proud of myself. So I'm going to be quiet for a minute over here and let you wrap it on up with us.
All righty. Well, listen, you know, like there's no such thing as perfection when it comes to humans, but we can, you know, do the best we can. And the good thing is that our body really can handle a surprising amount of junk. I can just think about how I've eaten in my lifetime. And I've been able to, you know, to change my habits. The more I learn, the better I do. And so, you know, that's just how it goes. We just have to strive, you know, to have, you know, good habits when it comes to eating. And for the most part, for me, it looks like 80-20, you know, is working. I try to do at least 80%, you know, eating right. And sometimes because I'm human and we all are, you know, we're going to get some things that, you know, we've eaten and we know it's not the best for us. But, mm-hmm. you know, if we have been eating right 80% of the time, 9 times out of 10, the body's going to pass it out for the most part, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but like I said, we should, of course, strive for good habits. And just know that, you know, all of these diets that are out there, there's no one rigid diet that works for everybody.
No.
You have your constitutional, you know, condition. Your taste buds are different, food sensitivities, cultural training, budget, and food availability all play a role in which diet you feel most vital with. The
right.
thing to do is, there are foods that we are naturally drawn to. And so, as you know, for the most part, if those foods are whole foods, then that's what, you know, we should eat. For as far as greens are concerned, I find myself eating spinach for the most part, as far as greens, you
mm-hmm,
know, go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what my body likes. Your body may not. But there may be a green that your body likes, and so that's the one that you give to them. Don't try, you know, to make your body eat something even though it's good if your body says something about that I don't really like. But there may be another food in that same category that you
right.
do like, and so that's the one that you eat. And so you know, we just do the best we can. And you play around to see, yeah, what effect different foods are having on you.
What's
you know,
while
we talked about, right, how the avocado has an effect on my
right.
body, tomatoes have an effect. And so I'm very well aware of that now. And so I know sometimes if I put some space in between the times when I eat those things, it may not bother me as much. But if I, like, say, have avocado for 2 days in a row. On that
mm-hmm.
third day, I'm going to feel it. So I know my body's telling me, okay, you don't need that much. Slow your roll on that one. Just have a little bit of it. You know what I mean?
I'll let you
and
taste
so
it, but don't go crazy.
Right, right, don't go crazy with it.
What about,
so,
what about not cutting you off, but I had to ask you this before we go. You know, we know seaweed is good with vitamin C. And so what about that seaweed tea? I'm looking at a package of seaweed here, and I'm trying to decide if I want to make me a tea or do I want to put it in a soup or what I want to do.
Okay. Well, that's up to you. You see what works for you. You know, what I've done lately is to cut that seaweed in little strips
uh-huh.
and throw it in my salad. Or sometimes
Ooh.
I might throw it in a soup. You know what
Ooh.
I mean? Just find different ways to incorporate it into your diet.
Bad my word. Well, you know, Dr. Melion, as we call you, when you come on and you give us all this good information and you take out your time to care and share for us, I'm a woman of my word, and when you give me that time, I stick to that time. And
I really appreciate
you coming on, giving us what you give us, helping us take care of our body and tell us about our body basic needs. And we know you come on every other. I'm not going to put pressure on you this evening to find out what we're going to talk about because things might have changed. You know, things change moment to moment.
Things
and about
change.
Time you
this
get back
changed.
On, that big magic day will be on and over with. So we might have to all change our eating habits to either celebrate more or to build our bodies up more. We don't know what the outcome
right.
is going to be on this. So either way,
yes,
we
Lord,
want you
yes.
to come back and let us know how to stay in balance. And on that note, we're going to say, well, you know, Miss Malion, thank you so much. We love you.
You are so welcome, and I hope I've given somebody something that they could use tonight.
You have definitely done that. We look forward to it. I want you to have a lovely evening. I will be giving you a call. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. Thank you.
You
guess
welcome.
That was Gloria Melion telling us about our body. Good night.
Drum, please.
Designer of Life Design. Karen Berg, are you on the line with us this evening?
I am. Hello, Miss Linda. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you. I want to extend our appreciation out to you. I'm telling the listeners you're on a different time frame. We're not going to keep you long, but we are so glad that you took our time to come and care and share with us about our mind growth. And I'm just going to be quiet. You know, I have some questions here. Professor Bird, as I call her, is life design coach, and she's many, 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 many things. And I have used a lot of her sayings, and she's on my mind all the time. But she's going to talk with us this evening about growth and mindset. And there's four questions. She'll let us know what is mindset and how does it play a part in cultivating a growth mindset. What is the role in mindset when we're dealing with our personal and professional change? And how do we define and respond to dismissal, rejection, or failure? So on that note, Karen Bird, I'm going to give it to you, and you just take us where you want to take us.
Oh, thanks, Miss Linda. I'm glad to be back. We've had some really great discussions in our time together, sort of working through this idea of personal growth through times of transition. In fact, the last time we were together, we were talking about what the different definitions of transition are and how something can either be forced on you or you can choose a change. And the decision-making and the process that has to happen to get to the next place in your life or to start in a direction that is healthier or better or more in alignment with your goals and your values is really what coaching helps people do, and life coaching in particular. And so in the past couple of episodes when we've talked, you and I have covered some of the, I don't want to call them theories, but principles of change and, you know, what keeps people stuck, and how we go about learning about ourselves and then sort of recalibrating and setting a new vision, and then how you take steps to fulfill that new direction or new vision. So there's this process we've been talking about. But one of the concepts within that process that is actually the research on this is fairly recent and it's become very popular, I would say, over the last 20 years in particular in the field of psychology and also in education. And you and I cross-reference because we've both been teachers, and you talk about the babies, and I talk about the college kids. But we're talking about the way people learn, and whether you're a little kid or a big little kid, a grown-up, the research on how we learn and how our brains work is really important to look at and to understand. And especially as an adult or as an educator trying to work with young children and to encourage growth and learning, not just now, but for life. So with that, the first question that I wanted to talk about tonight, and you ran through those for me, but to basically help our listeners understand how we define what a growth mindset is. And this came from the research of Dr. Carol Dweck, a D-W-E-C-K, and it's, like I say, pretty popular. A lot of people know about it, but it's basically the definition of a growth mindset is the understanding that personal qualities and abilities can change. Now, that seems to some of us, like kind of like a no-brainer. Wait, what are you talking about? Of course, everyone can change things about themselves and has the ability to do that. But the research basically shows that the brain research shows that there are two mindsets that are very definable through the way the brain activity shows up in these, you know, the way that, you know, the tests that they run and the different ways that they analyze the brain's activity. They're showing that our brains are much more active and continue to spark, basically, which allows us to be open to learning and to continue to learn if we have what they call this growth mindset. So the definition, Dr. Dweck says, a growth mindset is a perspective that most basic abilities can be, now think about this and tell me if you agree or disagree, but most basic abilities can be developed through dedication and hard work, and brains and talent are just the starting point. Mm. So if you believe that a growth mindset, it can be, that abilities can be developed through hard work, effort, you know, not just because you're smart or were born a certain way, then it can also, that having that mindset, which is kind of an outlook, creates a love of learning and a resilience that is essential for great accomplishment. So the brain research, that's the quote, but the brain research shows that the more you adopt a growth mindset, the more successful you and your life will be over time, because you will continue to learn and not see, for example, not see failure as failure, but see failure as a learning opportunity, right? So some basic sort of concepts.
True.
Okay. So, yeah. So the research about 30 years ago, Carol Dweck and her colleagues were looking at students. And they were interested in students' attitudes about failure. So that's kind of where we start with this idea of what happens when students focus on the fact that they've been wrong about something, or they got the answer wrong, or something like that. That some students, this is what was interesting when they observed the behavior, some students rebounded after a failure, while other students were devastated by even the smallest setbacks. If you think about when you've been in class or other students that you've known, or even colleagues at work, people that just get devastated by, you know, criticism or a poor score or something like that. Okay, so after studying the behavior of thousands of children, Dr. Dweck coined the terms fixed mindset and growth mindset to describe these underlying beliefs that people have about learning and intelligence. So here's the nut of it. When students believe they can get smarter, they understand that effort makes them stronger. Therefore, they put in extra time and effort, and that leads to higher achievement. Okay, now the opposite of this is students who believe that their intelligence is ingrained, or that it's what they were born with, or that it's fixed. Okay, what do they look like? Students, or in fact, not just students, but this is the research of what they were looking at was student behavior. But so the students who believe that intelligence was just kind of inborn and kind of ingrained in you actually focused on judgment. Mm. So their bent was to prove that they were right or smart, or hide that they are not. So they would tend to avoid situations that where they might fail or have to work hard. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Okay, so that's the fixed mindset, is I'm looking for you to talk and tell me what the right answer is. Just, and once I've heard what the right answer is, I'm tuning out. Even if you say what the wrong answer is, I don't really care. I just want to know if I was right or wrong. Okay, and by contrast, students with with a growth mindset would keep listening. They go, well, what is the right answer, and why is that the right answer, and want to continue learning. And the interesting thing about the brain waves, when they study the activity in the brain, we're talking about mindset, that's the mind, but the brain, you know, the organ in the skull, is getting measured while these little neurons are firing. And they're showing that those students who were interested in not only hearing the correct answer, but wanted to know more, their brains kept this activity level stayed heightened. So they would test them later on, come back in and test them on some other learning and see that they had they were better on a number of scores. Like, for example, they were better on trivia. Their minds were just more open to learning and remembering things. So there's something to this. Okay, so how do we use this? Okay, I'm a life coach. I'm also a teacher. So I'm kind of two of maybe the three folks I could, roles I can think of right now that just come to the top of mind. One would be teaching, one would be coaching, one would be a parent, right? Okay, let's add a fourth. Let's say my boss. Let's say there are four roles that people can play. So if I'm a parent or a boss or a coach or a teacher, how do I treat my child, my student, my employee, or my client if I'm giving them feedback? So how we, in all of those roles, treat people makes a difference in both the efforts and the results that they will get. So the bottom line is praise affects behavior. Yep. Okay, go ahead. I know I'm lecturing, but
wow,
go ahead.
Wow, I was looking at it, and we're talking, because we can go on and on. So we're talking about the growth mindset and what the roles are. I'm not one to rush you. I don't want to rush you, but I don't want us to not be able to hit the whole subject. So before we continue, if we don't get to few questions, can we set up a way that these questions can be answered again, but we'll have another way of doing it? Is that okay with you? Because I don't want to rush you.
Do you want to ask me some questions, or do you want me to?
I want you to really find out how you define and respond to dismissal, rejection, or failure. And I think you really answered that.
Yeah, we're
going
to get to that. Yeah.
Okay, because I have to jump
around.
Well,
we are
going
to get to that. Okay, so we're talking about the difference in the way that that let's say we're talking about just a person who wants to make change in their life, or a person who might be a little stuck, which is usually what life coaches are looking at. We're looking at people come to us because they are stuck. And yet they generally are people who have a growth mindset because they realize that what they're facing is a challenge. And it's important for us to understand how a client, for example, or if you're a parent or a teacher, whatever, it's important to see what you believe about failure. So let's just talk about that. And so a growth mindset would typically thrive on challenge and would see failure not as evidence that you're dumb or you did something wrong or you don't know what you're doing, but as a springboard for growth and for stretching your current abilities. So now it's really hard. Okay, so if somebody said, Linda, talk to me about what you perceive as the biggest failure in your life, or something that just really stood out for you as a fail. And let's say you started to talk about that because you could relate to that question. Then, this isn't fair because I know that you're one of those people that, that sees failure as an opportunity to learn. So it's not really fair to ask you that question. But if you were in a session, it would be important for me to understand what you did after you saw something as a failure. And what lesson you might have learned if you had taken a lesson away from it. So, and this is important because it can actually change what you strive for and what you see as success. So in other words, by changing the definition, the significance, or the impact of failure, you change the meaning of the effort. I hope that makes sense.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Okay. So what is the role of mindset in making personal or professional change? If you have a growth mindset, the hand that you're dealt in life is really just the starting point for development. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, that's just the hand I've been dealt. Okay, that is really a defeatist way of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody starts with, that's just the hand I've been dealt, they probably don't have a growth mindset. But having a growth mindset means you can define challenges as opportunities. So what do you need to do? You need to take an honest look at yourself. And one of the things that we really encourage is to acknowledge and embrace your imperfections. We all have them. We're not perfect. So just know that you aren't perfect and embrace qualities and abilities, whatever they are. And, you know, an important point about that is that, you know, if you're a person who sort of hides from your weaknesses or won't face them, well, you'll never overcome them, right? So mm-hmm. we talk about how awareness and acknowledgement are really the first steps towards self-knowledge and growing and getting better at something. So knowing that you can change, in other words, knowing that you can learn, can help you stay positive and motivated. So I would suggest one tool that people can do is just simply replace the word failing with learning.
Yeah.
So when you make a mistake or fall short of a goal, you haven't failed, you've learned. That's hard to do, though, because failure stings.
And we're probably going to get stuck on this, and because failure in my, you're right. I don't deal with a failure. I don't even deal with the word. I deal with a damn challenge, and let's get it done. And if it's not getting done, I got to go back and make some more effort and make it work if I really want to make it work. Okay, it's sort of like fuel for me. When it's fuel. So when they mm-hmm. say, it's kind of hard for me to answer a question, what are your weaknesses? I really don't have any. There's things that I need to improve on. So I don't, that word failure and weakness, it don't resonate right. with me. And I don't understand why not. Oh, in a way I do, but it just doesn't resonate to me because it puts you right where you think. It gives you, you're weak and you fail. No such thing. You need to work harder and maybe reroute yourself and try it another way. So I guess you would say that I would have a person that had the growth mindset. That's why I wanted to ask that question about, you know, dismissal, rejection, or failure. Because if you dismiss me, I can't relate to that word either. Rejection, I used to not like to be rejected, but then I got past that too. Because I'm not going to reject myself, so I'm not going to allow you to do it. I'm just a different type of animal. And I like talking with you. I have never actually sit down and had a full coaching, but I cannot wait, okay, to let somebody dig down in there and shake it up. You know, I like it to be shook up and give me another way of looking at it or another way of thinking about it or just another, you know, other options out there.
Yeah.
I yearn for that. So with the young adults, and just as you instruct the way you do, I give them exercises or I'll talk with them. I have dialogue with them because I'm trying to shake them up, you know. Some can take it and some can't take it. But eventually, you know, you'll have options out there. You know what to do when somebody's trying to shake you up and you know what to do when you're trying to shake yourself up. So it's interesting to me that you had that growth mindset because that does everything. And to talk about cultivating it and how we get it done. So you've answered that. You've answered the roles of it. And you've answered what is growth mindset. And, you know, I know that your time frame, Professor Bird, is 2 hours ahead of mine. And I know that this was a stretch for you. And I appreciate it.
Well, I have a few points. I have a few
okay,
points.
Okay, give us the points.
You know how I like to do my list.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes here, and then I'll have to take it
all
down.
Right. So here's the short list. It'll be a short list.
Okay.
So let me put it this way. How do, for people who want to have a takeaway. So how do you approach the practice of a growth mindset? Because you are, Linda, you are very positive, and you know, you're like that little, you know, that little toy that they used to push and it would wobble but never fall down. You're that, you know, you never fall down, right? But there are a lot of people who will stop because they have failed, or will retreat because they're embarrassed, or will not try something because they're not instantly great at it.
Mm-hmm.
And effort is, and when teachers talk about this, and in this field, the field of education with the work that Dr. Dweck has done, they talk about how important it is to use what they call process praise, which is praising students or others, you know, who are learning, not because they got an A or mm-hmm. got the answer right or that there was perfection, but that they had gotten far, like however far they got in the process. Look at the progress you've made, and look how far you've come, and look how good this looks right now. And we're not talking about, I have a friend who commented on this because we were discussing it. He said, that sounds like when everybody gets a trophy, like
mm-hmm.
this whole, you know, phenomenon over the past 20 years
mm-hmm.
or so where every
mm-hmm.
kid gets something for effort.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
We're not talking about everybody getting something. We're not talking about getting rewarded for effort. We're talking about the process of encouraging growth and learning, you know, for the sake of strengthening your brain and your brain power and your continued ability to learn. And so that is true whether you're a kid or you're a grown-up. So here's my list. If you're a grown-up, like, you know, and you come to a life coach, what would they help you understand about how you can practice having a growth mindset? Well, one would be this. Know that you can best elevate your soul. That's your number one job. You are in charge of your attitude. You own it. You can acknowledge yourself as someone who possesses a growth mentality and be proud to let it guide you through your life and career. So first of all, you know, you're the one who can elevate your soul the best. Okay, number two,
yes.
Acknowledge that some failure can be, quote, good for you. Or work in your favor. So why do I say that? Why would I say that you should acknowledge that failure is good for you or can work in your favor? Well, it's because you'll never be done learning. As long as you're alive, you know, growth-minded people know how to constantly create new goals to keep themselves stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
And the other piece of that is that you can learn to take risks in the company of others. Stop
mm-hmm.
trying to save face and just let yourself goof up now and then.
Okay.
I get this mental image of former colleagues of mine who would cringe just by hearing that said out loud because they were
okay.
perfectionists.
I love it.
But it should be okay to make mistakes. And not only that, let yourself be imperfect and it will be easier to take risks in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And focus on the process and the effort, not your ability. You're not, you know, somebody says, well, I'm just not good at that. Not yet. But the praise comes from, you know, you're getting pretty good at this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not as good as you could be, but you're getting better at it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about. You can tell yourself that as well as anybody else can coach you or carry you along, right? So here's number three. Let rejection and failure teach you what you really need. And the interesting thing about rejection and failure, and I think I said dismissal too, was that if you let these things teach you what you really need, they can encourage you to seek out things that you're enthusiastic about, or they can help you create an ability to read a compass for your life is a way to think about that.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. And then number four, treat disappointment and failure or learning as a, quote, piece of your story. And, you know, I'm big on storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
and
yes.
and writing and the role that can play, Linda, and we've talked about that a lot in our discussions. So if you treat this appointment affair, what am I talking about? I'm talking about actually sharing that story. It's not really helpful to compare yourself to other people, but guess what? It is helpful to realize that all humans share the same weaknesses. So people relate to stories of failure and what you've learned from them.
Some people may
have empathy for the hard lessons you had to learn,
mm-hmm.
and others may just want to learn from your mistakes so they don't make the same ones.
And that's why you want to put that book out there and say what the title of it is going to be, and I'll have to tell you in private what the title of my book is going to be. And I don't want to say it over the air right now, but I'll tell you personally.
Mm-hmm.
And when I give
mm-hmm.
you that title, you tell me if you agree or disagree, okay? Because it's gonna tell the true story of what has to go out there. Oh my goodness! You know what? I'm over here smiling. I'm over here writing. You know, I'm like a little squirrel when you're talking and stuff. I won't put it all out there because
yeah.
I like people to listen to your actual voice. And I've found out through trial and error, if you write everything that was said, then they won't listen and they miss something, right? So I sort of like tease them with it. With the summary and stuff of what we talked about, so they'll go in
yep.
there and really hear that actual coming from you actual, because if you give them the whole story, then they got it, right? No. I want you to go in
That's
here and
right.
listen to Professor Burr because, you know, number one, she stayed up real late to come and tell you this, and I want you to hear it, okay? I really do, and I would like to get a time. I will text you. Probably tomorrow to find out what's a good open time for you, if possible, that we can chat together, you know, have dialogue. I'm not going to bother you this evening because, like, it's, what, 11 o'clock there where you are? And here, we're
yep.
still, like, in the early, early thing, but I just want to, I'm not cutting you off, but this clock is ticking. And you know I can never talk
it.
To you without a reply. But I want to tell you the three things: know, acknowledge, easy to take risks, and let rejection and failure teach you what you really need to learn and be able to tell your story. So on that note, you keep encouraging me. I love to tell my story about my 52 personalities. Professor Burns, and people look at me and say, how do you have 52 personalities? It was the way I kept my mental balance. It's my mental wellness. And that's just the 52 that I know of. I'm pretty sure it's some more lying dormant down there. Okay, but I love to tell that story because that story, it talks about everything, okay? And it kind of like gives you a picture. And people, you know, they enjoy it because I'm saying about me what you really want to say about you, and you can't say it, but I'm going to tell you, okay? You know, have you ever did this and that and this happened? So you go on with the story. But on that note, we going to call it an end because she's talking to me. Karen
okay.
Bird, our life design coach, we're going to come back on, but I'll have another routine set, but I need to work on it, and we'll be able to come back in. So we're going to say evening to you. We love you, and please, please enjoy yourself, and thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you. As always, I always, and I'm sorry, I talk so much this time. Usually it's, you know, we go back and forth, but we promise
yeah,
to keep
but
it a little
bit see, when you come
so
on,
I try to summarize.
I have a lot more time, so I know where I have to go. But on this case, we had to bring in a person that was traveling, and then I bring you in. But I'm going to say good
yep.
evening. We love you, and I will
yep.
call you tomorrow.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
All
good
right.
night. Good night.
Thank you.
have been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be